Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
Welcome to the catch up. Josiah's so mad at me at the moment because I just had to stop playing Nelly Furtado's I'm Like a Bird in order to record this.
How do you spell Furtado? I'm trying to look her up on Instagram.
F-U-R-T.
It's a U, is it?
Yep. T-R-D-O.
T-A.
Furtado.
R-D-O. She doesn't have Instagram. Surely.
Yeah, she's out of the limelight now. She's just living a life in the shadows.
She's just being a hot Spanish girl in the shadows.
Was she Spanish?
Yeah.
I thought she was American.
Well, like Hispanic. Her name is Furtado.
Do you know I could have been Nelly? People who are named Eleanor often get Nell or Nelly.
Why did they not call you Nellinor? It would have been so much better.
I'm happier being just Ellie, thanks. Oh. Thanks for asking. Oh, Fraser is piping up, the work experience kid. What, Fraser?
Josiah and Nelly.
Josiah and Nelly. Better.
Yeah, it does sound good, doesn't it?
Doesn't really sound very different, well, really.
Fraser, what are your thoughts on Josiah and Smelly?
You know what? That's got a huge difference on it than the original. Just two extra letters.
Or what about Josiah and Telly? Because she likes watching television.
This takes me back to pre-primary when it was like, Ellie has a big belly from eating lots of jelly.
Well,
and
good.
She's really smelly.
Josiah and Belly. Because she ate heaps of Maccas this morning.
Don't, because I'm actually like trying to work out at the moment because we've got this awards event in a couple of weeks.
Also, it does
like,
make sense if we call the show Josiah and Belly.
Yes! Don't! I'm so self-conscious.
Do you know what I wish the show was? Josiah and Nelly Furtado.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? Me too. I'd listen. I'd podcast you 100%.
So would I.
Today's show, we have a very long chat to Susanna Sheed, who is the member for Shepparton.
Yeah, shotgun not editing that one
no,
down.
No, we don't need to edit it down. This is the beauty of the podcast. You get it in full.
Yeah, I'll bury that one at the end.
She's a great chat.
She is a great chat.
Anyway, also, today on the show, we speak about living with stuff that gets broken, that has been broken for
Some
a while.
Great calls today on the show, didn't we?
Yeah, we did actually, and getting caught in your undies.
Mm.
Good times. Enjoy. We'll speak to you again soon.
Are we ready?
The catch up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Yesterday, we went and met our goat. There was a field of 300 goats to choose from at Vicky's farm in Kumbuna, and we narrowed it down to just one.
A lot of cute ones, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a lot of cute ones. Now, there is a video of it up on our Instagram at the moment, Hit GV, and our Facebook page, Hit Goulburn Valley. So check that out if you need to like a little bit of inspiration to actually look at the goat. And we have had name suggestions flooding in left, right and centre. Here is a few of them.
Django.
Django. Like Django Unchained?
Yeah. Paul.
Well, he seems like a pretty artsy kind of guy. So I reckon Vincent Van Gogh.
I'm thinking of Nathan Lyon, the cricketer.
Oh.
They call him the goat.
A lot of great suggestions. More that we've had on the Instagram. Goatier.
I like that
singer,
one as well.
Gerald, Doris, Gotrude, Harold, Benny Goat Gruff, Giselli. I think that's after us. There's also Jelly.
A lot of people are suggesting our names put together.
Yeah.
Here we go. Big Benny's just sent us a message on Instagram, Hit GV if you want to as well.
Yeah.
Lady Gargoat.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Not bad.
That is good. That is good. Some sicko's written curry.
Oh. I mean, it
I think
is,
we'll be scrapping that one
it's
from
morbid,
the list.
But it makes sense.
Someone else's Mad Mojo has written butthead.
Why?
I don't know. We're trying to lift our goat up, not pull it down. Now, there's an issue if you want to see it as an issue, and that is our goat is a female.
Nah,
I don't know if that narrows
cares?
Down. I mean, last year we had a female ferret called Roger, so anything can happen. It's 2019. We don't see gender.
No, our goat's gender fluid.
Yeah, exactly.
By choice.
But it is time to narrow it down to the top four suggestions. Thank you so much to everyone who's been getting involved.
Yeah, there has been hundreds, but there has been four. And these are going by most popular suggestions so far and also how clever they are.
Yes. All right.
Number
build
one.
Up the suspense a little bit. Yeah.
The first suggestion is Nathan Lyon.
Oh, it made the cut.
It made the cut. It was one of our most popular suggestions. But in short, we call it Gary, which is obviously Nathan Lyon, the cricketer's nickname, Gary the Goat.
I mean, great. But if you're not a cricket fan, you don't really get it. So I'm not super on board for it, but I'll be open to it. If that's what the people want, I'm not going to stand in the way.
If you're a cricket fan, more like if you're Australian, we're all cricket fans.
Thought you were Albanian. Okay. Finalist number two is Selena Gomez.
Oh,
I like that.
I really like that one.
I very much like that one. That one came in from Sarah on Facebook. Huge.
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
Very clever play on words with this one as well.
Okay, hit me.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I love how creative people have been. And finally, we did hear it in the montage just before, finalist number four, Vincent Van Gogh.
Oh.
Great options. We are going to put all four of those up on a poll on our Instagram and Facebook very soon, so stick with us.
Literally, we'll be up in the next 10 seconds, guys. Good. I'm just putting up a photo on Facebook, and I'll put it on Instagram as well.
Get your votes in. You've got 24 hours to do so. This time tomorrow on the show, we'll be revealing the winner.
I'm doing one of those things where there's a picture of our goat, and you have to like it for Nathan. You have to ha-ha for this one. You have to love it for Selena Gomez, and you have to do the wow emoji if you want Vincent van Gogh. The most popular one, we will be revealing the name. This time tomorrow.
We will.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Hey, are you going to cast your vote now?
Yeah, I'm about to as soon as I upload this photo.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
Yeah, I'm going for Gary.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
I think I'm going to... Oh, I'm torn between Selena Gomez and Leonardo DiCaprio Goat. I'll have a think about it. I'll cast my vote very soon.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie. Solving life's biggest mysteries.
Or not.
With Josiah and Ellie.
Here we go, guys. Fire up.
I was waiting for it. Are you going to say it? It's everyone's favourite segment.
It is everyone's favourite segment. Last week, guys, we solved the big mystery. Is wombat poo square? The answer is yes, it is. How does it come out of a circle? But I solved that answer as well. If you want to hear it, search Josiah and Ellie in the podcast store right now.
No one wants to hear that.
This week, Eleanor.
Yes.
Racing season is here, and I want to solve the mystery. Does putting a teaspoon in a bottle of champagne actually keep the bottle fresh? Because during racing season, we all pop a bottle of champers. You do this, Ellie, surely.
I do it not just with champagne, but I've been known to do it with my Coke Zeros too.
What, you put a spoon in?
Yeah.
What makes you think to do that? Because I've seen my mum do it when there's a half, you know, drunk bottle of champagne. She just chucks a spoon in. It's sitting there in the fridge. I'm like, why is that?
Is it a mum thing maybe? Because my mum, I just do it because my mum did it. I trust her.
I'm the same, just because I've seen my mum. Maybe it's something that's happened from generation to generation.
Yeah, it's a baby boomer thing.
There is a real answer surrounding this as to why we do it. So yesterday, when I knew I was going to be talking about it, I sent an email to my friends at Harvard University.
Of course.
I reached out to Professor Passionpop. He got back to me this morning, which is great news. And do you know what he says?
I'm blind. I was just... Just down at the river.
Don't laugh. He's a real person.
Oh, sorry.
He actually wrote back saying, truthfully, and this is where I'm going to solve life's biggest mystery, the teaspoon has zero effect.
No, don't tell me that.
Guys, if you put a spoon in your champagne bottle, stop. It does absolutely nothing. The theory behind doing it originally is if you put a cold spoon into the neck of a bottle, the air around the spoon is meant to make it colder, more dense, which is meant to trap the bubbles.
Yeah.
However, he says that isn't the case. It doesn't do anything. It's just a theory. It's a myth that's been passed on from generation to generation.
What does Professor Passionpop know?
He knows a lot because he basically works with Passionpop all year round.
He spent his life drunk off a $5 bottle of champers.
I'll tell you what Passionpop also says. If you do want to keep your bubblies on tap and to keep it good, don't put the spoon in. What you need to do is it's important to keep the temperature of the bottle cold at all times. That is the best way to trap the bubbles in.
It's like what I did at the Vanilla Races the other day.
Yeah, tell everyone.
So we had a glass of champers on the way to the Vanilla Races on the bus, and I couldn't finish mine because I'm a very slow drinker. So
she sculled it.
No, and so I thought, you know what, I'm going to save this for later. So I hid my Flute of Bubbly in the esky with some ice and just like covered around. Then 6 o'clock that night, went back. It was still sitting there.
Good
still
as gold.
Cold, delish.
Didn't need a spoon. If you though, however, if the bottle had warmed up then gone back to cold, the bubbles would have disappeared. That's what he says. That's why it turns bad. Keep it cold. It's the best way to keep your champagne bubbly this racing season. Another one of life's mysteries solved.
Good job, Josiah. Proud of you.
Do you like this show again?
Oh, love this show. My high hopes are back, buddy.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Do you reckon humans are really incredible people in the way that we adjust to life situations?
Well, not everyone's great at doing that, but yeah.
Oh, but like we can do it. We can get to the end of the tunnel.
Well, you know I hate change, so I'm not great at adjusting, but you know if I have to, I will.
Okay, I'm going to give you a scenario. A light bulb goes out in your house. You leave it for 18 months. And then by the time the 18 months is up and your housemate replaces the light bulb, you're kind of a bit like, oh, I kind of liked that light being out.
What are you getting at here?
Okay, so this is exactly what's happened to me in my house. We've had this light bulb in our laundry that blew 18 months ago, and we're girls, like, we don't get around to doing handyman stuff.
Have you got, like, down lights, or is it an actual light? So it's not like, see our studio, these lights, they're down lights, or is it an actual light bulb that sticks out? You've got a light bulb.
It's a light bulb that sticks out. It's like a light.
So
I don't know.
Just one you buy from Woolies, you unscrew and screw it in.
The easiest thing in the world to change.
That's horrific, Ellie.
It's been 18 months. We've gone through three different housemates in the time that light bulb's been broken, and none of us have thought to change
it. There's also boyfriends on the scene as well.
Yeah.
So for them to not come in and want to change it, let's not make this a sexist thing, but three girls in a house, does it explain a bit? Or
a little bit. Our dishwasher's also been broken since we moved in. We just don't use it. But we've adjusted, Josiah.
No, you don't adjust. Why have to hand wash things? It takes so long when you can throw everything in the dishwasher and press the on button.
No, because then you have to unpack the dishwasher as well.
Yeah, but you don't have to dry it, clean it, do everything. Ellie, you...
Hey, we can't all be Tom Walker, mate. I'll leave the light on. Sometimes I want to do my laundry in the dark, okay? Sometimes I don't want to look at the stains on my clothes.
Yeah, I don't want to see those either.
You know, you don't want to know just how dirty you are. So it's quite nice doing laundry in the dark. Anyway, now my housemate's gone to replace the light bulb, and I'm turning on the light when I walk in there. I'm like, this isn't normal.
This isn't the house that we once knew.
Yes.
Who replaced it in the end?
Mia.
Oh, of course she did.
Thanks, Mia.
Good on you, Mia.
She also replaced the one in her room, and her room is so much lighter now. She literally, I got home the other day. She's like, come look at this. Took me into her room. She's like, look how bright my room is.
Well, I've got a bedside table, obviously, with a light on it, a little lamp. And same thing. I've been using the light on my phone because I haven't bothered replacing that that little floor. It's probably been a year, so I probably shouldn't blame you guys.
Yeah.
However, I do have a light above my head.
No, they're overrated.
My old unit, my roommate Bailey and I, we had blinds which blocked the whole street could see in, and the side bit broke, and we needed a handyman to come in because neither of us could do it, and to come fix it, and we never did. It was roughly a year and a half as well, no blinds. We went through a winter, and do you know how cold? Those blinds keep the cold out.
Yeah.
We're sitting there shivering on the couch with people staring in, seeing two grown men watch The Bachelor, and I was like, mate, we could save ourselves all this embarrassment and cold by just fixing the blinds, but neither of us could be bothered calling someone to do it.
Oh, Josiah. See, you're having a go at me.
Yeah, but a light bulb's so much easier.
13, 12, 16. I want to know, Golden Valley, how long did you live with something that was broken? How long did you just get used to it? Did you make a, you know, an allowance for it and use something else instead?
Hit us up on the Instagram page. Hit GV is the place to go. Just like Jess, the clock timer on her oven was flashing for over a year over the whole time clock. They didn't have the time. They had nothing. It's finally disappeared. It's been 4 years. Still hasn't been fixed. Thanks for your message, Jess.
Who even needs the clock timer anyway?
Well,
you know, like, you've got your phone now. You've got a watch.
It's easier when your oven beeps and tells you guys.
Exactly. So true. Let's go to Fee from Katandra. Fee, have you been living with something that's broken?
I'm in the same situation. Our laundry light's broken.
Yes. How long's it been broken for?
Oh, God, it's been a while.
And are you the same as me? You kind of like doing laundry in the dark now?
Well, see, we've got a hallway. So I use the laundry, the hallway light, but, like, as I heard your story, I was like, oh, my God, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, but Fee, why don't you just go fix the light? How hard is it?
It's up quite high, and I'm too short.
That's
and I don't
thing.
Have a ladder.
You're right. It's the ladder issue. And it's also, how stressful is buying a light globe?
Hang on.
Just on another note.
They're not expensive. Like, they're not cheap.
Yeah, but also, like, is it a twisty one? Is it a one with the little prongs on it? Like, how are you supposed to know?
Because you unscrew it. You turn the light off, unscrew it and check, and then you go to Woolies and buy the one you need. Fee, have you got a man in your life?
I do, yes.
What's wrong with him?
Hey, just keeps on telling us, oh, I'll get around to it one day.
Yeah,
he sounds like me, actually, in his defence.
You don't need to, girl. If I'm living proof that it's okay to do laundry in the dark, it jazzes it up a little bit. You're fine.
Nothing more romantic. There's nothing more romantic than doing laundry in the dark, is there?
Exactly. Oh, thanks for your call, Fee.
No worries.
I reckon just the moral of the story is laziness pays. It's fine.
Yeah, if it's broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, Ellie, you know I love a selfie on Instagram, right?
Yes.
Love a selfie. Yesterday we went out and met the goat.
Yeah, we did.
We haven't named it yet. We're going to do that later in the show. But I was there, and you captured on your personal Instagram a photo of me trying to break the internet by getting the goat in my hand, and I was trying to get a selfie with it.
Yeah, and your words were literally, I'm going to get a photo that will break the internet. Like, that was the words that came out of your mouth.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian style. It makes sense.
You're not Kim Kardashian, though.
Yeah, but I'm pretty good looking, and the goat was cute, so anything could happen.
I'm going to isolate that audio. I'm pretty good looking.
You may think I'm a bit of a wank by saying that.
Think or no.
You may know that I'm a bit of a wank for saying that, right? But it makes sense because I'm not as dumb as this person in New York City. She's at the Bronx Zoo, as you do. How good's the Bronx Zoo? We love going there.
I've never been to the Bronx Zoo.
I've never been to New York. Anyway, this lady was there and she's observing the lion enclosure, as you do. How good's watching the lions?
Pretty good. Thanks, Josiah. Thanks for asking.
I often go out to Mansfield Zoo and just sit there watching the lions.
Do you?
Yeah, I've done it 5 times. In the last 2 weeks.
You've never been.
No, I haven't, but I do intend to. Anyway, she thought it was a great idea, though, to not only just sit back and observe the lion, but she thought, why don't I take this a bit further because I'm a real wank and I'm going to climb the fence and go inside the lion enclosure. It's happened overnight. It's gone viral, obviously, on the internet. Someone did capture it on their Instagram feed. She stands there. She's having a bit of a stare-off with the lion. The two of them are going like, no one knows what to do. So you know what she does? Because she knows people are filming. She just starts dancing.
Oh, God. Do you know what? I don't often say this about people, but that woman deserves to be eaten by a lion.
I agree with you. I thought if that lion comes and rips your head off,
yes.
I don't think many people would be complaining.
No.
Hard to feel sorry for someone that jumps into a lion enclosure.
Like, it's in an enclosure for a reason.
I know. I don't know about your relationship with lions, but...
Pretty good, thanks.
Yeah, my relationship is I don't go into their land and they don't come into mine. I'm going to leave it like that.
To be fair, I did go on safari in South Africa and I walked around the safari park where the lions were.
But what if you had...
But I had a guide with guns with me.
I was going to say, if a lion chased you, would they have just taken it down?
Yeah.
It's not a zoo enclosure, though, with a poor thing that's being observed. We don't go to Mansfield Zoo today. I'm not going to jump into the fence and go, what's up, boys? You want to have see a little dance?
So you look at this woman and say she's a wank. What does that make you yesterday trying to break the internet with your goat selfie?
Well, it's not a lion. So the goat didn't, you know, isn't a threat to my life.
You did actually ask a million times, is it going to bite me? Could it hurt me? Could it butt me with its horns?
You know, if it's a killer goat, then I'm on the same page as this chick. I deserve to have my head ripped off.
No, do you know what? Good on her. You should try it. You should genuinely go down to Mansfield, hop in the lion enclosure, do us all a favor.
Will you drive me there?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let's do it today.
Eat breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
Jason Donovan, remember him from Neighbours?
He's the one that got dumped by Kylie Minogue for Michael Hutchins from Hutchins, I should say, from INXS, right?
Oh, someone's up to date with their Neighbours knowledge.
I watched the INXS documentary, guys.
Did you? There you go. Well, anyway, Jason Donovan has proven, this is the headline, proven he's still a good neighbour, racing to help extinguish a fire raging at a mansion across the road in just his underwear. What a ledge.
Well, forget the fire. The most important question is, what brand of undies was he wearing?
Doesn't say.
Ellie, come on. You should be studying that article, that photo in the article, like you've never studied something before.
There is a photo, but it's a bit blurry. I'm going to say Bonds, because he's a good Aussie boy. That's an Aussie brand.
How's he packing down there?
I only saw him from the back, but he's got a nice little tushy.
There you go.
Thanks for asking. Anyway, so it was early in the morning, like 4:30 in the morning. His neighbours are asleep. Their house is worth £21 million, which is $40 million.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a very expensive mansion.
Well, he must live in a good neighbourhood. Where's he getting his coin from these days?
He lives in Notting Hill, bro, over in London.
But what's he doing for money? Jason Donovan, since Kylie broke his heart, haven't heard a thing.
No, at the moment he's in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Obviously plays well.
Good on you, Jace.
Yeah, good on you, Jace. Anyway, so he's seen it from his window, has noticed that no one else is tending to it, so runs out barefoot in his undies with a fire extinguisher and extinguishes the fire. Calls the fire brigade. They rock up, but he's pretty much done all their work for them. And they are like, what a ledge.
What did he use for an extinguisher?
He used a fire extinguisher that he had in his house.
What a weapon.
What do you think? He peed on it?
Yeah. I'm just suggesting if he's out there in his undies and you're suggesting he extinguished it, I'm just presuming he just whipped it out and whoosh, out went the fire.
Well, if that's the case, he'd be a very good neighbour indeed. That's when good neighbours become... His neighbour neighbour did comment and say that quote exactly. That's when good neighbours become good friends. So it's a really beautiful, heartwarming story. But that's one of the only stories I reckon you'd get where being caught in your undies is okay.
Well, no, my dog ran away when we were younger and I would have been maybe 17 years old. I'd just come home from school and she ducked out the front door up the street and I had to chase her. At the time, though, I was in nothing but my undies. I'll never forget because the neighbours across the road, they were those kind of awkward neighbours that you're not really friends with.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm doing the 100-metre Usain Bolt sprint past their house in nothing but my undies.
Not a good image.
It was weird that day because I was wearing a jock strap too.
That's not weird. That's not weird, bro. You wear them every day. Hey, 13, 12, 16, I want to know this morning, Golden Valley, when and where did you get caught in your undies? Was it a good story like Jason Donovan's or was it creepy like Josiah's? Give us a call. We'll take them next. 13, 12, 16.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
But at the moment, we're talking about very important stuff, and that is where have you been caught in your undies? I want to catch I wanted to play that because when I was a kid and I'd watch Bananas in Pyjamas, I thought it was Catch Your Underwears.
So did I.
Yeah.
I remember my sisters and I used to sing it.
Yeah, so bit of fun.
Is Bananas in Pyjamas still going?
Fraser's nodding. Work experience kids are nodding. You're a big fan of Bananas in Pyjamas, Fraser?
No, I've got a little niece that is, but it's animated now.
What do you mean? Wait, it was always that. Hold on. It was
dudes dressed up as bananas.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think one of them may have carked it, one of the bananas.
Oh, don't say that.
Not that hard to chuck another person in a banana suit, though, is it? Really isn't that hard.
Well, it's not a person in a suit then. It's obviously a real banana. Anyway, we are digressing from the topic at hand, which is getting caught in your underwears after Jason Donovan ran to extinguish a fire at his neighbour's house, just wearing his little undies.
Good on him.
I tell you what, everyone was commenting on his physique. He's still ripped.
What did Kylie do? Ever since she dumped him for Michael Hutchins, she hasn't found love properly, has she?
Big mistake, Kyles. Big mistake. But 13, 12, 16, if you've got a story of being caught unawares in your underwear, Fraser the Work Experience Kid, we were just talking about it off air, and he said, oh, I've got a story. So.
Well, he doesn't sound like that, but he does have a story.
Take it away, Fraser.
Oh, bugger. All right, well.
All your friends and family are listening for your radio debut.
Well, the family's already heard it because Well, it's classic summer holidays that you're just sitting at home not doing much. And it being summer, it was actually pretty hot. So I thought, you know, I'm home alone, just going to sit in my undies. No one else will care. That's what I thought.
Were you playing a bit of PlayStation or something or watching TV?
Yeah, pretty much.
Watching the cricket, yeah, all that. Watching bananas, in pyjamas. I want to catch
Yeah.
What happened then?
You're painting a real picture here, Fraze.
Yeah, well, me just thinking home alone, I then hear the door open and hear my sister-in-law just say, oh, hey, Fraser, we're home and we've got Florence here. And Florence is my little, like, two-year-old niece at the time.
Florence doesn't want to see that. Florence would rather see this, to be honest. I want to
catch. Was that very embarrassing for you, mate?
Well, I had my legs crossed at the time, so she walked in and goes, hang on, are you naked? And I quickly stand up and go, no, I've got my jocks on, it's all fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Fraser, you've scarred your niece for life, I'm afraid.
Poor thing.
Poor thing indeed.
Just wanted to watch Bananas in Pyjamas. Yeah. She got Fraser and his jocks.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Yesterday, it was announced by the Ardmona Footy Club. I'll read you the statement they made on their Facebook club because it's one that if it's true, is massive for this region. If it's not, it's a very clever marketing ploy for them. So we all know that Ardmona Footy Club are on the brink of suspension from...
Well, they got suspended, didn't they?
Yeah. So they're trying to appeal the decision. They're trying to fight to stay in the competition for their 100th year, which is set to be next year, was set to be next year. They've come out and posted last night, the committee of Ardmona Football Netball Club are pleased to announce that AFL legend and Brownlow medalist Shane Crawford has been appointed to the role of senior coach, pending an appeal decision.
Is this a way for them? It is happening.
Yeah.
Or Shane Crawford has no idea and they're just using this to try and get the league over, which isn't a bad idea.
It's a great move.
Shane Crawford, he's a local. He's a Finley boy.
He is.
He'd be awesome.
It's a huge get if it's true.
I just reached out to Channel 9 to try and get Shane Crawford on because unfortunately I don't have his mobile number in my mobile and they're chasing him as we speak for a statement. But you reached out to Ardmona?
Yeah, I did. I said, could we speak to someone from the club? We love this story. It's great. They replied and said they're not engaging with any media until after the appeal decision's in. Whoa. The statement they've made on Facebook is all they have to say at this point.
Goulburn Valley, watch your space. We are chasing sources at both ends right now. We're trying to get a statement from somebody, an official one, and trying to get Shane Crawford on the show very soon as well.
Do you reckon he could turn them around? I mean, they're at the moment getting belted by 200 points a game.
Oh, you'd at least turn them around to at least 100 points a game.
Do you know what? If I was a cat, I'd take that as a win, probably.
Absolutely.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
We are joined by a member for Shepherd and Susanna Shee. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Firstly, have you got any thoughts? We are raising a goat and training it at the Shep Show next week.
I'll have
any
to give
thoughts?
That some thought. Okay. I'll have to give that some thought, but I'll be popping by, so yeah. We'll see.
Okay, we've got some names.
You get to introduce it to our goat.
Yeah. It's good. A big moment for us good, as good. A show. Now, we've got you in today because yesterday we spoke to Robin Bischetti, who's headed up the Stop Shepherd and Super School Facebook page, and they've got a rally happening outside your office tomorrow. So we thought we'd get you on to get your thoughts and if you wanted to clarify anything about the Super School that you think people should know.
Well, look. It's hard to know where to start because I've been involved in it for so long.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I got elected in 2014. I'd known sort of in the back of my mind for a long time that there were problems in secondary education and education generally in Shepparton. Mm-hmm. And there'd been a really big push about 10 years to go to set up a senior secondary college. It failed. In the late 90s, there was an attempt to do something in education. It failed. And I think often for lack of political will, because it's a really touchy subject when you get involved in where kids go to school and how it happens and all those things around it, because the most important thing for parents is their kids' well-being, of course. And so it's a really difficult area to get involved in, and gosh, I've found that out, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
I attended the public meeting that Robin held just a number of weeks ago. That was quite well attended, and I was able to hear a lot of the things that were concerning many of the parents who were there. Mm-hmm. It's a really political issue, and the last election, of course, here in Shepparton was run against me on the basis of the Susanna Sheed Super School. And look, I sort of took it as a bit of an endorsement that people do want some change by the fact that I got in with an increased majority.
Mm.
Now, I don't have a political party. I'm an independent member, so I really regard the community as my party, in a sense.
Yeah.
And if they don't like what I'm doing, they'll chuck me out. I couldn't, though, sit in this seat as the representative and not try and do something to improve educational outcomes. I would have walked away from it feeling like I hadn't done the job that needed to be done, and others have tried and failed, and I'm really keen to see us get some improvement in and investment in education in Shepparton. And it really needs to start at every level. Mm-hmm. Really, ideally, you'd start at early childhood because that's where most of the brain development is and the setting the stage for how kids will perform later on. But the government took the view that the secondary schools were in such a state that they had to do them first.
Mm.
And that's what James Molino stepped in and done. I think some of the frustrations, though, from a lot of the people that we hear is they feel like they're trying to get in touch with him and he's just seeming to ignore the issue altogether. So is there a chance, obviously, with all this opposition for change, or is there a chance that James will come and meet with the locals and meet with Robin and the team down there to address it?
Look, I can't speak for him, but he's certainly come to town a lot and he's met with the groups that are, engaged in the process of doing it, meets with the principals, the teachers, school council presidents, all the people who've actually been involved for the last 2.5 years while all this has been going on, and through the community consultations and so forth. They're the government, they're doing it. But I have to say that I decided that I would advocate for it because we've failed before, and I really don't want to see a chance at a significant improvement in education in Shepparton passes by. And sometimes these windows of opportunities only come once in a blue moon, and you've got to grab them when they happen. So I know people are really concerned about a number of things, and it's been good to hear from them.
I was going to say, why do you think there is such an uproar against it? Why is everyone feeling that way?
Look, I don't think everyone is by any means. I mean, there's a lot of people coming from at it from different angles. And I think when you look at some of the other Facebook pages besides Stop the School, people are starting to get a bit of air and be able to say what they think and see the advantages of putting all your resources into one. So Maroopna High School used to have about 800 to 1,000 kids. It's got about 300 and something now. And so communities have abandoned the state system over time. Notre Dame is bursting at the seams. The grammar school won't take anymore. The other smaller schools are all full because the community has walked away from state education because they have seen a lot of the outcomes. We have low engagement, low school attendance. The outcomes are poor across state averages, way below state averages. So here's a chance to try and do something about all of those things and give kids a much better chance of also being able to choose a broad range of opportunities. And it's not just about your VCE results. It's about leaving school with a pathway, whatever that might be, whether it's VCAL, apprenticeships, all these sorts of things. And it's been great to see the business community jumping on board with the careers teachers to talk about how they can interact in a new school, and also how great it will be to have a one-stop shop. You know, because for businesses to go to four different schools and, you know, they don't have time to do that sort of thing, whereas they might be looking for opportunities for to have kids for work experience or whatever. A lot of people don't like work experience the way it is now. Kids just get to photocopy or sweep the floor, or it's about having much more meaningful experiences for kids as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's like how we went to the Shep High to do Careers Day, Josiah, and we had to talk to all the kids. Now we can go and talk to like 1,000 kids at once and tell them about how good radio is.
We don't have to go around as much.
Yeah, exactly.
We just get them all in the one spot.
Yeah.
You'll have a full hall.
Do you think, Susanna, at the moment, there is a lot of opposition to it at the moment, but do you think it's kind of like, you know, like the plastic bag thing coming in and, you know, everyone, when the first they first started charging for plastic bags, it's like, I don't want to do that. It sucks. But now everyone's used to it. Do you think it'll be a similar thing with the super school? At first, everyone's like, oh, I don't like change. I don't like that we're all going to be together. But eventually it'll be okay.
Look, what I want to see happen is people actually get on board and make this work.
Yeah.
Because it must be really hard for a lot of kids who are hearing this negativity to sort of get their head around what next year is going to be like. I mean, all the year 7s are going to be at Maguire, all the year 9s are going to be at Marupna, the 11s and 12s will be in 2 and they'll have the whole suite of VCA subjects available to them. And so things like that are really significant change, but they're not the things that people are worried about as much, I think, as I mean, I've heard Robin talk about bullying and being worried about that. I mean, most of the bullying that happens these days happens online and after hours and not when the kids are at school. And, of course, from next year, mobile phones are banned. So the situation with bullying on the school ground, and I've been hearing discussions that the principals and others in the school are having, is about having an alternate setting where you put the bullies.
Yeah.
See, what parents have done traditionally is take their child away from a school where they've been bullied. Well, bullying is not acceptable, and a child who has been bullied oughtn't to be the one that's punished. So it's sort of about changing people's behaviour at one level. That sounds easy, doesn't it? But I know it's not.
Easier said than done.
And
yeah.
Sometimes you've got to pull kids out and maybe, you know,
harsher punishments.
Yeah,
and
but you can't throw them out of the education system. We've got too many kids who have disengaged from education early in Shepparton and who are not in education, who are not in employment, and we really want to turn that around.
Mm. So don't give them the death penalty, nothing like that. No.
Not bringing back the cane at the super school?
This is not a Trump show here. we won't be doing any of that.
So we're not going to build a wall around the school, nothing like that? No.
Look, our principals and teachers have been in the game a long time, and we've got some top people. We've got Melbourne University involved. They are looking at putting PhD students in the school to evaluate what's happening, to always be finding better ways to do things. I've been lobbying the Premier when he was up here just a week ago to give us a share of that money that has been recommended to get top teachers to come to the country. You know, pay them an extra $50,000 a year and a bit more for 3 years.
Oh,
and to get some of those people coming and bringing their skills and helping educate the teachers we've got even more too, because it's always great to hear from people who can do things in a different way and who have been, you know, operating in different places. People always bring new skills when they come, and I think great to get a bit of that, and also talking to him about this alternate setting for kids who are not, you know, managing in the system and who might be causing other kids grief. So really keen to see that get up. But there's so much happening as we speak. You know, this is a huge job, a huge transition, And all those teachers in all the schools and principals have got their heads together and they're just, you know, churning
working
through
away.
Ideas and working away
yeah.
to try and make this a really good experience.
It is a process that's been, you know, heavily thought through from your end. It's not like it's just been thrown upon us and there's, you know, no science behind it or anything.
No, no. And look, yeah. all these things have a political overlay too, which is, you know, really unfortunate. But I think at the end of the day, I believe it's going to happen. That's what the government are saying. They've already put $20.5 million into it. And I'll be lobbying very hard to get the additional funding that's needed to get that incredible school built up on the Shep Hire site, because that's what the government have decided to do. So we want to see it really roll out in full with a full suite of all the things that have been talked about happening.
All right. Well, Susanna Shee, thank you so much for coming in this morning and good luck with it all.
Thank you very much.
This is
Are We Ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.